Today is the 8th day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we reach the conclusion of our first full week of the year. And it's been a good week, hasn't it? This has been a good first full week of the year. Lots going on. We're trying to establish all these new rhythms in our lives. Well, we can see that the Bible is already speaking and touching the tender areas of our lives and speaking into those things that we need to hear. And so let's dive in for today. We have been reading from the New International Version this week. Today, Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 through 19, verse 38. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord, by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of the 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. "This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry! Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around here to give us children, as is the custom all over the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine and then sleep with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and slept with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day the older daughter said to the younger, Last night I slept with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and sleep with him so we can preserve our family line through our father. So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and slept with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she laid down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. Matthew 6, 25 through 7, 14. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Psalm 8. for the director of music, according to Gittith, the Psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Proverbs 2:6-15. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Okay, so we need to go back into the book of Genesis here. What a disturbing story we have encountered in this first book of the Bible. A story that we would today call incest. Although the story is generally speaking backward to the kinds of stories that we would hear. In this case, we have two young daughters and an older father, and the daughters have decided that they need to get their father drunk so that they can try to get pregnant by him. How did we get here? And what are we supposed to make of this? To even begin to try to unravel such a disturbing scene, we kind of need to go back to the beginning of the story that's being told here. Abraham, who we have begun to travel with this week and will continue to travel with, had a divine visitation. God had been hearing about what was going on in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to check it out. There's a visit with Abraham. A meal is served. They're about to leave. God sort of asks himself a rhetorical question. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham and God have now entered into a covenant. Nothing is supposed to be withheld, and so Abraham is told what the Lord intends to do, to go check out if the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah has got any validity to it. And then we have this long and quite beautiful scene, actually, that sets up the story that we are heading into that ends up with two girls and their father in a cave trying to get pregnant. Abraham says some pretty straightforward kinds of things to God. And I quote, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? So I can easily, in my own mind, say, I am way less of a man than Abraham. I read the Bible, but you're not going to find any stories in the Bible that I'm involved with. And so Abraham is in covenant with God, and so I guess he has this type of intimacy that he could speak to him. I can't imagine speaking to God like that. But in many ways, this is important. This is part of the story. It's an important part. It's leading us to something. So Abraham and God almost have a bit of a negotiation where Abraham is negotiating down the number of righteous people, the threshold for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it were. And so Abraham keeps saying, you know, if 50 people were there, what about 40? You know, what about 30? What about 20? He keeps bringing the number down. And God keeps responding the same way. If there are that many righteous people, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do such a thing. I will relent. I will not destroy it. So as readers, what are we supposed to start getting the impression of? We're supposed to start understanding that God is the judge of the world and is righteous and does only what is right and is perfect. He has no intention of destroying the wicked and the righteous together. The righteous will preserve everything if they exist. As the story goes, they don't exist. God goes to Lot in the city. Lot takes them into his home, putting them under his protection. That's an important thing in the culture at the time. If you bring somebody under your roof, then they are in your care and must be respected. Hospitality, in this case, is the important thing, is the understanding among people. The next thing we know, they're in Lot's house. The house is surrounded by the young and old men who want these guys to come out for sexual relations. Law basically goes out and says, how could you do such a thing? I brought them under my roof. They're under my protection. I have two virgin daughters. Let me send them out to you. And like in our modern world, we're like, yeah, right. That's a great idea. Yeah, I would do that. Of course. Somebody knocks on my door that I don't know, but I realize they're important and I bring them into my house. And then other people want those men. So I'll give them China, my daughter. I can't imagine something like that. And you need to understand that. This is not a story that is supposed to make us feel good or comforted. This is a story that is supposed to make us feel disrupted. And we are in the book of Genesis. We are a long way back in history. We are in a tribal time. We are also in a very patriarchal time in the world and in all the cultures. Whereas our current time in history, humanity has begun to move forward. And so even though there may be many patriarchal remnants in the world, and there are, and in just about every culture, and there aren't too many cultures in the world where virgin daughters get thrown to an angry mob of males. Although the world is not devoid of that kind of atrocity even today. So we can look at this and go, such antiquated old stories in such an old unrelatable time, but that's not true. We have a massive human trafficking problem in the world. Massive atrocities happen to women. So we could be mad at God that this kind of stories in the Bible, when maybe we shouldn't be looking down our nose at God. We should look at Lot and go, dude, can't even imagine what you're doing here. What was God's response in this situation? He blinded the mob. Nobody had non-consensual sex with anybody. They were blind. They couldn't even find the door, according to the Bible. I'm not saying that rape didn't exist at that time and all kinds of atrocities didn't exist at that time. I'm just saying in this story, although Lot had offered his daughters, the power of God blinded the people, keeping them from doing anything. And they're working with Lot to get him out of the city. And there's all this kind of negotiation. I can't go to the mountains. Can I go to this little village? I got to get out of here, but I won't survive. And they hurry him out of town and they run away. And Lot's wife looks back and she's caught up in the destruction. And they continue to flee and they end up living in this little cave. And so let's look at the lay of the land with the daughters here. Are they sitting in the cave in the fire glow going, you know, Dad is a really handsome man and we should have sex with him? That's not what's happening here. These girls are in trouble and they're trying to figure out how to navigate what is going to become of them. Their mother is dead. The man that these girls were betrothed to are dead. Their home is destroyed. They aren't from around there. They came with Abraham from a land far, far away. They are foreigners in this land. And they are in an extremely patriarchal world. Their family line will be destroyed without an heir. Their father has lost everything, so he's not going to be able to move into another city, showing wealth and prosperity and making arrangements to introduce his daughters to suitable spouses and making that happen. He has nothing left. There's no respect left. Lot can claim his daughters and protect his daughters, but he's not gonna live forever. And if they're just kind of wandering around, this older man with some beautiful women, Lot could easily be killed. What would happen to the girls then? They're most likely looking at a life of slavery or prostitution, what we would call human trafficking today. That's the outlook for them, almost certainly, if there isn't a male heir. So they're in a situation where it's like the only way is the wrong way. And it's interesting because as the story reads in the book of Genesis, after the encounter with God and Abraham negotiates the number of righteous people down and all that, the next day he gets up and goes and looks down over the valley and he sees all of the smoke from the destruction. So he's aware of this. Why Lot and his daughters aren't doing everything they can to navigate their way to wherever Abraham is a mystery. The daughters made a decision. Two sons were born, one to each daughter. And the Bible tells us that that is the origin story of the Moabites and the Ammonites. Did God tell the daughters to do this? That's not in this story. Did God condone this or want this to happen? That's not in this story either. The part that God plays in this story is that he will not destroy the just and righteous along with the wicked and evil. Even to the point that we begin to understand that a small group of righteous people can preserve everything. And we don't see God scheming in his master plan that these daughters are going to have sex with their father Lot. What we do see is that God goes down there, finds Lot, and saves their lives. The things that happen after that are human choices made by human people. And it becomes clear we can make a mess of things even while we are being rescued, when we begin to take matters into our own hands. And so this gives us some things to ponder. And so, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit into that pondering. It's a pretty disruptive story with a lot of layers to it, and we invite you to assist us in seeing the ways that we blame you for things that you didn't do, or we create circumstances that were unnecessary. We also recognize the difficulties that the human experience was and is, the struggles that we face now that we're so entrenched in this knowledge of good and evil, where we are the sovereign and we have to have the final say and make the final decision, when what we are constantly going to see over and over and over repeatedly is, you are the sovereign Lord. And the best move that we can make in any set of circumstances is to trust you. And so come, Holy Spirit, into this. Lead us forward, we pray, expectantly in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. That's the website, of course, and that's where you find out what's going on around here, so check that out. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, of course, you can access those things from within the app by using the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner, but check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop and the resources that are there for the journey. Check out the community section where the prayer wall lives. We were talking about that yesterday. It is an invaluable resource. A lot of things can happen in a year. And it is good to be people of prayer. It is good to be facing outward toward one another in prayer, so that when it's our turn and we need prayer, there are those facing in our direction. And so check out the prayer wall. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Humbly, it is truly, I was going to say unbelievable, but we're here, so it's believable. It's just close to miraculous to me that we're here and we've been here. This is year 17 every day. That couldn't happen. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. And so it's awe-inspiring that we're here. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my beautiful Dab family. This is your sister Ashley from California, and it is Sunday, January 2nd. For all of you new ones out there, welcome. And I just want to come on here and encourage you. First things first, though, guys, we gotta just take it a day at a time. Like, that is the way that I got through last year, and this is the way that I'm gonna get through this year too. But I just want to encourage you, keep showing up and give yourself some grace. You don't have to be perfect every day. And I want you to also know that what God has in His Word for you each and every day won't return void. And that's from Isaiah 55:11. Each time you listen, God has a purpose for it. And when we're going through this, I think Brian started saying this last year, but if you ask for God to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart softened to receive the truth, you will find so much richness in the Word and as you walk through it each day and in your life. And I just want you all to know that I am praying for God to infuse you with strength to be faithful and that you will fall in love with the Word. I'm also just asking for prayer for me because I'm a teacher and I have 3 weeks of winter break, but I'm asking for strength to go back into work and maintain healthy habits and walk in the truth. So I wanted to welcome all the newbies and say yay for a new year for everybody else. This is my second year with the DAB, and I'm just excited. And let's do this. Welcome.
Hello, Dab family. My name's Dale, and this is my first time calling in. And I just recently completed listening to the Bible just a few days ago for the first time. And I wanted to take this next year to start listening to the prayers after, since I tend to shut it off before they come through. And tonight a prayer came across from a gentleman called Man of Wrath, and he's struggling with a self-destructive nature and verbal abuse and stuff towards his family, especially around the holidays. And he knows the Lord forgives him, but I pray that his family would forgive him for his actions as well, and be patient with him. And I pray that the Lord would just lift him up and help him have victory over these self-destructive tendencies. And I wanted to encourage Man of Wrath. He's not alone. There are many other men out there who struggle with the same issue. And I pray that the Dad family would lift us all up and pray for our families, that they would continue to forgive us for these attacks, I guess it were, at times. We don't mean to be this way, but we do love our families, and we just pray that they would forgive us. And I just wanted to lift this gentleman up in prayer and know that he is not alone, and that the Dad family is praying for him. Thank you so much.
Hey, DAB, it's Val in Vegas. Happy 2022. Okay, a couple quick updates, y'all. That Christmas party. I mean, come on. Like, really? Best part of my Christmas was the Christmas party. Thank you to everyone that called in. It was so joyous. Oh, so joyous. And Happy New Year. And I want to let you guys know, I've got a new boss. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. I literally just got off the phone with her. And she's amazing. Oh, God, thank you, guys. I don't know if you've ever had a bad work situation, but it can just wear on you in so many ways. Oh, thank you, Lord God. I'm just so grateful for y'all's prayers, for God moving, a new role, more money, larger territory, a new boss, even a new director. Oh God, you went all the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little out of breath right now because I literally just hung up the phone and I had to do a praise dance all through my apartment. Oh God, I'm so grateful. It's almost too good to be true, but that's just how the Lord runs. And that's how he works. And guys, remember, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. And then one last thing. Oh my gosh, on that last day when I got those badges, all those precious badges. Oh my God. This last year of going through the Bible was like no other before. And it just literally brought me to my knees. Thank you for the badges, Brian. Thank you for everything that you and your family do. Oh, I love you guys so much. This probably sounds like a rambling, but oh, I just had to call in and let you guys know I've got a new boss. Thank you, Jesus. Won't he do it? Okay, and this is my ending now. I love you, and so does Jesus.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible friends and family. I'm so happy to be able to actually come to you this morning. My name is Ray from Canada. I just want to thank Brian and his family for the great work that they do in preaching the Word of God throughout the world. I also want to put in a prayer request today. I need prayer so that I could spend this year getting closer to God that I know in my heart I love, but I keep living a life that basically is not pleasing to him sometimes. I think I may be a sexual addict. I know that I regret actually participating in this, and I just really do need prayer from my family to help me to overcome this so that I could live with a good conscience before God. Once again, family, I hear your prayers. I try to faithfully listen each and every day, to listen to the prayers of others and to pray those that actually touch my heart. And I just hope that God would do a miracle in my life this year and help me to cast away every idol in my life, so that I could actually love him more like he deserves to be loved. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.
Hey, y'all. This is Asia from Chicago. I'm really thankful to be here, able to leave a message. Everybody that's been praying for me these last few months, I really, really, really appreciate it. It's been extremely hard. It's gotten a lot harder since the last time I called in. So seriously, everyone, thank you for praying for me. But the reason why I'm actually calling in today is because it is January 3rd, and I just finished listening to the prayers at the end of today's episode, and I'm calling in for three people, for Man of Wrath, and for Eleanor, and for Sean. Man of Wrath and Eleanor are first-time callers. Yeah, I hear the brokenness in all three of your voices. I hear how humble you all are and how down. Eleanor, I've struggled with suicidal thoughts a lot lately, a lot in general. Man of Wrath, my dad was very abusive toward me for a long time. And so when I heard your voice, I just was heartbroken to hear, because I was just like, wow, like, I know as a recipient, and I also have said and done things that were really hurtful toward my loved ones, and I just also thinking of you as well, Sean, of making a big mistake and regretting it. And so, Lord, I just pray for all three of these beautiful people. I pray for them to feel compassion toward themselves. And my time is up. I love you guys. This is Asia from Chicago. Love you, family.
Happy New Year to the Daily Audio Bible family. This is Richard, Rich Martin, Taxi Martin from Montreal, the taxi driver from Montreal. And I want to start the year. 17 years of Daily Audio Bible has been going on. I've not been going for 17 years, maybe five, I'm not sure anymore. But this year, I want to be diligent to be with you guys in prayer and listening to Brian reading the Word of God. Ah, such a blessing to start the day or finishing the day listening to the Word of God. So I'm just saying a quick hello there, saying that I will be with all you guys, and I'm praying for you that you will have blessing, prosperity, health, hallelujah, and that God will give you breakthrough, and that you know God more and better in this beautiful journey around this global campfire, like Brian says. So love you all, and wait to hear you guys again in this new year that we're starting together. God bless.
Thank you.